Did you know that nearly twice as many people retired since the pandemic began than retired in 2019? We'll discuss this and other interesting facts about living abroad with international lifestyle consultant Emily Braun on this episode of The Curious Professor. Everyone, I'm Dr. B. Welcome to the Curious Professor podcast, where I take listeners on a journey of discovery to explore the people, places, artifacts, and natural wonders that spark my curiosity. On this episode of the Curious Professor podcast, we'll explore remote work and life as a digital nomad with consultant Emily Braun. But first, a trivia question. How many Americans who typically work in an office or at a computer are currently working from home? I'll have the answer for you at the end of this episode. I'm thrilled to have Emily Braun on the show today. Emily is an avid traveler with experience journeying to over 40 countries. The concept of international lifestyle consulting came from her desire to help others work, live, or retire overseas, enjoying life in the full without compromising health or overall well-being. Destination countries in her portfolio include Mexico, Belize, Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Colombia, Portugal, Spain, Italy, and Bulgaria. When I learned about Emily's extensive experience with world travel, my curiosity was immediately piqued and I wanted to learn more. I hope this interview with Emily will spark your curiosity too. Welcome to the show, Emily. It's great to have you here.
Hello. Thank you. I'm really happy to be here with you and with all your followers.
You've traveled to over 40 countries. What countries have you enjoyed the most?
It's hard to say because, you know, at different time of my life, visiting different countries, I had different understanding and different expectation of the countries. I can tell you from my latest discovery, it was Mexico. Like, I've been in Mexico in a resort, which actually doesn't mean that you understand the country. But when I started to travel, like in central Mexican state, in Baja California, kind of internal, and the more I learn about culture, about history, I'm still amazed because it's kind of so close to us, to many of us, I mean, in North America, but it's still a lot to discover. And I'm really still amazed by richness of Mexican culture.
What countries were not what you expected them to be?
Expectations, usually I'm working on preparation to visit the country before. Like, I'm learning about history. I like history. Like, if it's something completely new country for me, I don't remember. If it was completely new country, but I was reading to understand like history, art, politics, what ticking people in these countries. And sometimes really, whatever you're reading and what you see on the ground, it's not the same. You know, I might say something controversial for many, but a little bit Switzerland. And you know why? And again, it's not about Switzerland. It's about me and my temperament and it's very beautiful. But too quiet, too boring for me. So it's not, you know, it should be match between actually temperament and expectation and reality. But it's me, you know, many of us expecting from literature that it doesn't matter what I expected, but it was too boringly quiet for me.
Well, I appreciate your honesty about that. So you work with retirees and digital nomads and remote workers. Can you explain to us what the difference is between a digital nomad and a remote worker?
Yes. It's very interesting and for me clear distinction. Digital nomad is a group and is a term actually appeared, I would say, 10 years ago when internet became stable, widespread, and some people, professionals, realized that they can take their skills and travel at the same time. The wonder of travel and traveling was always in the blood of some kind of people, but professionals realize that they can do it, or by different circumstances, they can travel the world and try to work on their own. And more mostly it's single people, younger or not very young, but single people. Remote workers for me, it's a group which kind of overlap but separated, and it's the term created last year or recently because of the fact that many professionals, IT or other professionals, after working at home for around a year, realized that they can do the same work working for their companies or for open market by being and living in different countries. So mostly it's a family-oriented people, like couple with children, and they have different requirements, you know, for lifestyle and different interests sometimes. So this new group, which is emerging and growing, it's, I would say, pretty new phenomena, which some prefer to say digital nomads, but they are kind of different demographic.
Why do you think that companies are becoming more open to remote work?
I think they don't have any other choice. There are several components. First of all, not all companies. And it's not good, say, for manufacturing, you know, for companies. Even we know that some of the manufacturing, actually a lot, was outsourced, like to Asia, to other countries. But speaking about IT, financial, or other companies who might keep their employees remotely, first of all, development of technology. Like, it's possible now. And secondly, all is changing in our world. Like, I believe, and there is proof every day of the fact, that we are on the edge of new era completely, technologically, economically, politically. So new era demands like a new relationship between employee and employer. And with the cost of living tremendously growing in North America, in, I would say, brand name first world countries, the phenomena of actually lack of professionals and attempt to keep professionals working for your company really create interesting situation. I can share with you, and probably you know, you notice yourself, but in United States, in Canada, where I'm living, in UK and many different countries in Europe, there is actually sharp shortage of professionals. That's why professionals, specifically younger one, Generation X, they kind of in position now to move and kind of demand better condition or benefits for them. Obviously, it's not immediately would be, you know, in every company. The trend is obvious and people will use this opportunity, professional. And at the same time, baby boomers are going out of the market. Or baby boomers now, more and more baby boomers became consultant professionals and they can work online as well. So, you know, the shift in the market demand and, you know, whatever is available really creates a situation when remote workers will be grown trend. I really believe in it.
And what do you think some of the advantages and disadvantages are, or challenges of being a remote worker?
First of all, it's not easy to work remotely. There is time of adjustment. Some people already, you know, adjusted to this. But again, depend what is your professional field. Because for some profession, you really need teamwork. You really need common time together and brainstorming, which is kind of can be in Zoom, but it's not the same as you were spending time with your co-worker together. And actually this informal, I would say, near the cooler, small conversation, which really make our life more than just work, work, work. Because what happened, and probably you can confirm, at work, we are working more time and we sometimes even more exhausted versus the same time we spend in the office. Yes, many of us, including me, saving time on commute. And in big cities, it's kind of big problem. But instead of relax or spend more time with family or with your hobby, it's apparently maybe because it's a still period of adjustment, we spend more time working.
Why is retiring overseas a growing trend for North Americans?
First of all, is that this trend existed before because many people close to the age of retirement, pre-retirement and retirement, and for different people, it started at a different age. And by the way, now there is another trend, it's an early retirement. But it's a separate question. We're looking around, you know, what are the place for me to retire meaning, and I'm speaking about middle class now, which I believe both of us belong to, how to stretch our saving, how to stretch our security check or pension, whatever we get after many years of hard working in our countries. And with a cost of living tremendously growing in North America and other countries, plus taxes are growing, plus cost of medical services, which is more important for retirees, baby boomers, and younger generation, the question is really acute. And I'm even not speaking about change of political and kind of social fabric of society. And we know people are in the United States and in Canada moving from state to state, from province to province. And actually, cost of living, it's one of the important factors.
And what are some countries you recommend for retirees, and what makes those countries so desirable?
You know what? My approach is slightly different comparing with other people who might work in the same industry, I would say. Even nobody offering exactly what I'm offering. What I'm doing, first of all, I'm trying to match a particular personal and family situation with different lifestyle person might find in different countries. And I am not working with all world. Even I know about, you know, some good countries for living in Asia. It's too far away from us, North American. Even there are some people, and I fully understand, would prefer this region. But from mentality perspective, from what people might expect, and I'm trying, like, I'm not psychologist, but from my life experience, from my multiple immigration experience and travel experience. First of all, I understand the difference between traveling and immigration, and between immigration and remote work, and between digital nomads and remote work. And since every person is unique and his situation is unique, I'm trying to match particular situation with the country or even region in the country, because like Mexico is a big country. What is actually very important is if person is speaking languages, what are other languages in English? What are his interests? So I have questionnaire like developed and can be found in my website, which is really asking people to filter out, to understand themselves before they coming to me. It would help themselves to understand what are the criteria like they have before selecting or looking for different lifestyle. Actually, people are not thinking about lifestyle. Mostly what they say, cost of living, crime level, and flashy pictures on the internet and beauty of the country, which is important. But, you know, today we can be photoshopped and real news. I mean, authentic description of what's going on here and there. It's hard to find. I was always interested in different countries, cultures, political events. Now even more, I am following news from the countries of my interest, as I say, meaning I'm reading local newspapers in English, yes, or like depending on the country. I'm reading in three languages, but speaking about Latin American countries, because unfortunately I'm not speaking Spanish yet to the level I can read local in Spanish, I'm reading English speaking newspapers. So I'm following the news and what I'm offering, like my understanding of what's going on in this or other country and how this person with his situation, with his budget, might find himself, you know, in this or other country. Obviously, I'm not oracle, but, you know, with my immigration experience, I have some, yes, I can advise people, at least I can advise about negative sides, whatever, or what they should do in order to be prepared, how to adjust to new culture, how to find really joy in your new lifestyle in retirement.
So what made you decide to become an international lifestyle consultant?
I changed my professional fields many times in my life, actually moving from country to country. It just happened this way. And in Canada for the last 23 years, I was working as an IT consultant. I always liked travel. With all my changes, and I have engineering degree, and I worked in scientific field, in financial sector, and IT, as I mentioned, I always liked travel and always wanted to work in travel somehow in different position. And, you know, probably there is some point in our life, which I get to after 50, when I was telling myself, if not now, then never. So if I want to do something now that I really like, and for me, it was just kind of new project that I did did on site, I opened 3 years ago my small travel company, Travel Passion. And when I was thinking about what to do with clear understanding that I would not compete with big companies, I started to work and develop my research and contact in direction of medical tourism and actually launching the program for baby boomers looking for retirement places as a travel designer, as a travel advisor. And at the same time, I was working as IT consultant, and I was just thinking, okay, it's a really nice project for me. It's to do what I like, and I will grow it eventually, you know, being my own business, I thought in 5-7 years, and it will help me in retirement to do finally whatever I like and to do it full time. But during this previous several years, I developed my contact in Mexico, in other countries. I was going and now participating online in international conferences on the topic of living west overseas. And I know who is doing what in these relocation services. And I was always trying, first of all, to do something what people needed. It's my tagline. It's how I understand what people really needed, what is missing on the market. And secondly, when last summer, the first time in many years, sitting at home in lockdown, I had more time to plan to be in Portugal, Spain, and Bulgaria. It's the countries, as I say, of my interest. And I was thinking, like, what I can do with my knowledge, with my connections overseas, with my personal immigration and travel experience, how I can utilize it and help people. And when I noticed that Americans started to run from United States, I understood there's my time. I can help people to do it correctly or not to make mistakes, not to be affected only by emotions, which are really strong power, but try to be prepared, look around. And I started to dig, and I have now even more contacts versus like a year ago, my contacts now in different European countries. And I give up my main IT consulting work, and all my time I'm working in this direction, because I understand clear for me, political powers are changing, which is always through economical changes, social changes, and history proved when such events are happening, people are moving from country to country, from continent to continent. People already started to move. COVID regulation, I would say, keep us grounded somehow in our countries. And I believe that this digital nomad, hop on, hop off, lifestyle would not be so free anymore. It will be kind of more regulation to go from country to country. And I'm not speaking even about only travel passport, but with all this, because of cost of living, because of rising crime level, people would be looking for cheaper places, for places to work, for better climate, for better lifestyle.
Well, this particular profession seems to be a perfect fit for your background and your knowledge, your skills, and your passion.
Yes, thank you. I was good in many other professions, but I would say this one really get me more passion than any other whatever I was engaged with before.
And what do you find most rewarding about being an international lifestyle consultant?
First of all, nobody is offering what I'm offering. Secondly, I believe that I can really help people. I'm in position to help people to make correct searches, correct selection. And via my searches, which I do, you know, all the time, I'm really testing and reviewing all my contacts before I would advise somebody else to do it. And I've been in actually all the countries I'm offering, other than couple, which I kind of have knowledge. I have local contacts, which I really trust to. And it was on my, it still is on my list to visit, but I believe that I can help people and navigate them in really hard period of decision of where the next chapter might be. And again, it might be part-time. I'm not speaking about kind of full-time immigration, which might be decision later on for some people under circumstances. Almost everyone who is working in this direction, they're speaking about taxation, about money, about business engagement in different countries, and which is okay. Actually, all of them are Americans, Canadians, who can afford this lifestyle? Before, if not Americans and Canadians, I am taking in consideration many different aspects of life because I truly believe the taxes and your account in a bank define some well-being, but it's not enough for some of the people. You need to understand more about the country you would like to be part of, at least for some time.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about you or your work?
My current project and idea, actually, to bring awareness for North Americans, for Canadians and US citizens about really wonderful places in Eastern Europe. And what I mean is such countries as Bulgaria and Montenegro, because these countries were overlooked by many of us living here. They kind of not in radars as, say, Portugal and Spain and Greece and Italy, which is wonderful country. I'm not denying it. But I have my own understanding of, you know, advantages and disadvantages living in, again, brand name countries. Again, cost of living rising. But I believe and I know that Bulgaria and Montenegro offering the same wonderful beaches, wonderful climate, cost of living, and at the same time, rich culture, unspoiled. Speaking about organic food, they just don't have another one. They don't understand what is organic food because all food is organic, and it's different pace of life. It's different lifestyle. But I believe for many people in North America, it might be very interesting and attractive to live, to discover. And again, it's part of the European Union. Living in this country, people can travel other European countries. And cost of living in this particular country would allow them to do it because you can live on fraction, you know, of the price you would pay in other countries, in Europe, I mean.
And where can listeners find out more about you?
I have a website, emilybron.com. So my name, EmilyBron, altogether.com. And at the same time, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, on Instagram, like in social media. And recently I launched my own YouTube account because I'm planning to travel for a long time. But I believe at the end of September, October, I will be in Europe, probably starting from Italy. I need to visit some places which I'm recommending as well in Italy. Italy is well on my radars. And by the way, for everyone who listening to us, when you're checking my website, please go to destination page. And destination page is the countries I'm working with. It's not just countries that I like. I like more countries, but it's the countries where I have connections. And eventually I would add more countries to this list. But at this point, I'm alone. I'm trying to cover two continents, like Latin America and Europe, and I'm doing my best.
That's fantastic. It was great to have you on the show, Emily. Thank you so much for taking time to be a guest on the Curious Professor podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me. And I hope, I believe that this information will be valuable for your followers, for your friends. And if any questions, please search in Google International Lifestyle Consulting by Emily Bron. Good luck, everyone.
And now for the answer to this episode's trivia question. How many Americans who typically work in an office or at a computer are currently working from home? According to a recent Gallup poll, 72% of white-collar workers are currently working from home, and a significant number of them would like to continue to work from home post-pandemic. We'll end the show with something punny. Where do sheep like to go on vacation? The Bahamas. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Curious Professor podcast. If there's a person, place, artifact, or natural wonder that has sparked your curiosity and you'd like for me to feature it on the show, please let me know. My website is thecuriousprofessorpodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe to the Curious Professor podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you'd like to become part of my community of curiosity seekers, be sure to visit my website, thecuriousprofessorpodcast.com, and join Dr. B's Hive. Until next time, always be learning and be curious with Dr. B.